Good morning. It's good to be with you on this 4th of July holiday weekend. And we all know that the 4th of July is a little different this year, since perhaps you didn't gather for a big picnic or for fireworks. And because I believe that we are rethinking in this country how we celebrate independence. And do we have independence and freedom in every way for all people, like we say that we want to? Today is July the 5th, and in 1852, Frederick Douglass, a famous black abolitionist of that time before the Civil War, spoke to the Ladies' Aid Society in New York State, somewhere up in New York State, and spoke about why, as a black man and slaves, 4th of July was not as happy a day for him, and how he might learn and urge our country to learn to create freedom for all. So in that context, let us listen today to words from Matthew's Gospel. And I did put away the Bible, but I've got them right here on my iPad. From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11. Jesus was speaking to the crowds and said to them, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man, the human one, came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is proved right by her works." And Jesus began to pray and said, "I praise you, Father, Almighty One of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and shown them to babies. Come to me, all of you who are struggling hard and are carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest. Put on my yoke, and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Would you rather dance or mourn? Work or rest? Fast with a radical protesting prophet? Or eat and drink with the partying crowds? Our text today sets these contradictory choices in front of us as a generation of Jesus followers in the 21st century. Jesus was speaking to his generation out of his context, and there was no coronavirus, so they could party. Still, do we metaphorically have these choices today in our culture, that is ridden by a global pandemic and by the pandemics of systemic racism and poverty? These startling comparisons come from Jesus. He has given his disciples a long discourse in the chapter before this on the radical nature of God's realm is here with us. That's the message he wants them to remember And what does that realm entail? And then he sends them out on their own to embody the radical realm of God's justice and love, to proclaim it already present on earth. He warns them, though, that they will receive the same ridicule and persecution that has been directed at him, at Jesus, by the religious establishment. Jesus says to them, "You will be as sheep among wolves, so be wise as snakes and gentle as doves," because there will be controversy and conflict. The message of God's justice is countercultural, counterintuitive to the religious and political establishment. Families will split, people will be jailed, yet God will lead and provide. Through God's Spirit, you will know what to speak, how to preach, and people will respond joyfully and gratefully. And with that, Jesus sends them out on their own. And he resumes his own ministry throughout the countryside. Now, at the same time, John the baptizer, you remember the one who baptized Jesus, has been imprisoned for his subversive preaching. And he hears all that Jesus and his disciples are doing. And so John sends the disciples of John, his disciples, to Jesus with a message. "Are you the one whom God has sent, or should we look for another?" In reply, Jesus quotes Isaiah, "The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor receive good news. Tell this to John." And Jesus praises John for being the messenger who proclaimed the coming of the human one, the Son of Man, the Messiah. He is like Elijah, Jesus says, that mighty prophet. And then curiously, Jesus, speaking to the crowds, not to any of those disciples, says that all who hear his message of God's realm on earth are equal to this mighty prophet, John. In fact, maybe greater. As if to say, we are all prophets. And he continues saying, "However, this generation, those who are hearing the good news, are stuck. They are paralyzed, perhaps in fear, or is it apathy? They are like children in the marketplace, refusing to play when their friends call to them." It seems that children back then imitated adults in their play just as they do today, just as we did as kids, playing school or hospital or firefighters or any number of things that they see us do. I have to tell you that growing up Baptist, where there is baptism by immersion, we always played baptism in the swimming pool at church camp. It's a great way to flirt in middle school. You just rush over to whoever it is that you like, but you don't want them to know that you like them, and you say, "I will baptize you now," and whoosh, down you go. The children of Jesus' time pretended to be the men who danced at wedding dances with the bridegroom at weddings, or the women who were the professional mourners when someone died. This generation, Jesus says, is like the children who won't respond to playing these usually fun games. They are fearful or rebellious or depressed or apathetic. We don't know exactly why they won't play. But what about our generation? Do we feel stuck, paralyzed, fearful of taking action in these times of protesting and upheaval due to the racial injustice in our country? Even if we can venture out to protest with a mask, we are already overwhelmed by the grief of the virus, and now we are being called to deal with the grief of racism. which has been buried for generations in our souls, in our systems, in our relationships? Do we feel at times like those fearful, moping children who wouldn't come out to play when they were called by their friends? Do we feel stuck in our response in our times? And who are we to follow? John, who was the ascetic, stringent prophet, fasting in the desert, calling for repentance? Do we mourn and lament our participation in white privilege and white supremacy before we do anything else at all? Do we sit in the desert with John in scratchy camel hair, eating only locusts and wild honey, hoping to be politically correct in our prayers, and maybe inviting those who are seeking, just like us, to be anti-racist, or maybe inviting our Black or Indigenous or people of color brothers and sisters to join? Or do we follow Jesus, who was criticized for too much partying with his neighbors, with consorting with sinners and tax collectors? I got to thinking about who Jesus would be partying with if Jesus was here today. Hopefully, as Hal said to me when I told him this, with us, as we try to come to grips with the privilege of our whiteness, for most of us, in the majority of us in this community, are white. Hopefully, well, we definitely know he would be partying with the brothers and sisters who have been oppressed for so long because of the color of their skin. But once he got those two groups together, I have this funny feeling he would say, "Great, you all are getting to know one another. You are listening. You are talking. That's good. Keep at it. I'll be back in a little while. I have to go down the street and have a beer with my white nationalist brothers and sisters. They need some love." Funny old Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't solve the conundrum of what actions to take or how to address our long history of racial injustice pandemic or our long history of poverty pandemic. He knows that some of us will be called to protesting, calling out and loudly and naming injustice. Some of us called to building bridges between different political parties, between those who want to take down Confederate statues and those who do not. Some of us are called to policy changing, and some of us are called to prayer. Whatever we may be called to do or to participate in to build God's realm, wearing masks and keeping a safe physical distance from one another, of course, whatever, Jesus wants us to know that he is in it all with us. Come, he says. Be yoked with me, just like that yoke, that oxen's yoke that you saw in the picture that Carla showed us. We will be like two oxen in a wooden yoke, pulling together as a team. And I love the part that you said that there was a leader back behind them. Who would that be? God, duh. Come, because my yoke is kind. Kind is the real meaning of the Greek word that's so often translated as easy, because Jesus knows we have a heavy load, but says, my yoke is kind, and I'm pulling with you in this difficult time. I am a gentle, humble partner, and because we are pulling this load together, it will be lighter. There will be times to pull and times to rest in God's rejuvenating spirit, times to mourn and times to dance. This is the divine wisdom that will be made evident, says Jesus, that will be proven in these times. And he thanks God that it's delivered to the regular folks. We're the ones called the babies, just the regular old folks. Not to the intellectual, the establishment, elite. Can we do that, Plymouth? Can we yoke ourselves with Jesus as we first listen to the truths and realities of white privilege, the hidden truths that we may not have seen or been taught or may have even resisted about our racism? Can we be gentle and humble with Jesus as we hear these truths that we need to hear in order to take up the yoke with him of righting the wrongs of injustice along our side, our black and indigenous and people of color, brothers and sisters? Can we do that? All of us together, all of God's beloveds working together? Yes, we can. We can study together books like Leila Saad's Me and White Supremacy. It's a 28-day journal course taking us personally through our own conscious and unconscious racism. We can ask the people of color at Plymouth. And yes, we have people of color in our congregation. We can ask them to speak to us of their experiences of racism in our culture, and then we can listen. We can rally for gun control because the pandemic of guns in our society fuels the fear and violence that even encompasses the responses of our police departments. We can support and lobby for changes to be made by police to learn de-escalation techniques. We can vote for the most anti-racist and justice-aware candidates we can find to lead our governments. And I know you already have ideas of what we can do as and after we first learn and listen and study. Bring your ideas to our Plymouth community. We are called, as John, to be prophets. Okay, everybody take a deep breath. I really wrote that into the sermon right there. Take a deep breath. My friends, Jesus is calling us to mourn and lament, to wail and to protest the horrors of racism. Jesus is calling us to dance the dance of protest, calling out, singing out the systemic changes that are needed to create racial justice and equality. Jesus is calling us to fast from participating in racist systems, calling us to pray for justice and trust the efficacy of prayer and petition before the Holy One. Jesus is calling us to party, metaphorically for now, or with masks and social distancing, but to party with our brothers and sisters, because the lies of racism in our society are being called out and the persecution is being revealed. Our eyes and ears are finally open. Our deafness and blindness is starting to fall away, and we can be healed of this crippling disease of racism and learn to live in the freedom of anti-racism. Will you answer the call to be yoked with Jesus, to work together with him and the power of God's holy and liberating spirit? Will you? Amen. And amen.